And a good morning. Welcome to KMAN's In Focus. Brandon Peoples is working on another project right now, and I'm Dave Lewis. I get to host the program, and boy, I tell you what, there's one of my favorite things to talk about is history in and around the area, and today that is our subject. And Alana Parker is here joining us from the Riley County Historical Museum and Society. Alana, good morning.
Good morning. So good to talk with you today.
Absolutely. We always have great conversations, whether it be in the grocery store aisles or here on the air. So
It always takes me a minute with people when they wear their masks, though. I have to do a double take and actually make sure it's who I think it is before I start waving frantically.
I just have to talk and everybody knows.
Well, that's actually what gave you away when I thought that is Dave, is I heard you.
Pretty much that's the way it works with me. Well, we got a number of things that we want to talk about, and, you know, things, obviously, you know, with the pandemic, everything is different. Hours are different. Activities are different. But we all have a lot of constants in our community, a lot of historical spots. And one of the subjects that we wanted to focus today on was the Goodnow House. And, you know, that is, I think it's a true treasure here because a lot of folks don't understand the historical aspect to the home of the Goodnows and what it represents and what it means, not only to the city of Manhattan, but for now Kansas State University.
Right. Absolutely. And I'll say I'm biased, but I think Riley County and here in Manhattan, and we have some of the most incredible history. I feel very fortunate to be able to study that history every day and to share those stories. And you're absolutely right. The Goodnow House is such a treasure. And it's one of our favorite things when we have, and actually just this last week had a student come in who was a new freshman at K-State, and to see the excitement and enthusiasm he had about learning the roots of the community and what became Kansas State University, and the Goodnows were a founding part of that.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what brought the Goodnows to this area. And it wasn't really Manhattan at the time.
Correct. So Isaac and Ellen were from New England, and you kind of have to back up a little bit too. And I think the history of Kansas is really that's so complex and so fascinating. So when Kansas Territory opened in 1854, it was under the doctrine, under the doctrine of popular sovereignty. So that meant that whoever came to settle in Kansas, they were going to cast a vote to decide whether Kansas would enter the Union as a free state or a slave state. So you had groups up in New England that there was one in particular called the New England Immigrant Aid Society. And the purpose of this group was to recruit settlers. They would help pay their fare to come here to Kansas. And it was under the notion that when they arrived, they would vote Kansas as a free state. And so Isaac and Ellen, Isaac was an educator, and Ellen was, she's just as educated. I think they shared that passion for education. But they came here specifically to help Kansas become a free state. And there are some incredible quotes. You can read Isaac's letters or Ellen, his wife, Ellen Goodnow's letters. And how they talk about coming here to Kansas is just fascinating. One of my favorite quotes from Isaac let me find it here, make sure I get it verbatim. He said, "Believing that the rule of slavery or of freedom in the nation would be settled on the prairies of Kansas, I felt impelled to throw myself into the scale on the side of freedom." So that really just epitomizes his purpose in coming here to settle in Kansas. And as you mentioned, it was not always Manhattan. The settlement that Isaac founded with a few others, it was New Boston. So you really see that New England influence here in our community.
And so this would mark, 165 years ago. Is that
yes.
right? 165 yeah. years, because the sesquicentennial was in 05.
Yes. Oh, I'm glad you were. I had to do that math in my head real quick, and you were a lot faster.
I know that's hard for you know for me. Trust me, I did that without a calculator too, which is surprising. But
well, that's what I always said. That's why I majored in history and not math.
You know,
it was never my strong suit.
Yeah. Give me words that are printed out, and I'm fine.
Yeah.
So when Isaac Goodnow and when he and Ellen arrived here, you know, and you know, the founding of Manhattan is one thing. But there was so much that was engaged in establishing not just a city, but one of their goals was a university. And that took a little while for them to get started here in what became Manhattan.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the primary questions we receive from people who come to visit the museum or the Goodnow House State Historic Site, if they're not familiar with the area, we have College Avenue that is out here, specifically the College and Claflin intersection there. They're confused as to why College Avenue would be way out here on the west side of town when the college is located further east. And so it's fun to then, it's a really great segue to talk to visitors about the founding of Bluemont Central College, because that is where that was located, where that Central National Bank is today on the corner of College and Claflin. In 1859.
I just discovered a couple of weeks ago when I was there at Central National for an event with Meadowlark Hills that there's a marker there. I had never seen that before, but it marks where, you know, Bluemont College was founded.
Absolutely. Well, and that, you know, that building, unfortunately, it didn't stand very long. So Bluemont Central College, it was a limestone, three-story limestone building, and in the 1880s, it was dismantled. So Washington Marlott, who I think that name might sound familiar to many Riley Countyans, Washington, who was the first principal at Bluemont Central College, he purchased the stone from the college and some of the interior lumber to build his barn, which is still standing. If you head north on College Avenue by the soccer fields, you can find his home and stone barn that is essentially Bluemont Central College. So even though it's not standing in its original location, it's still there in spirit in the form of Washington Marlott's barn. And I'd be curious to see how many people are aware that there's that piece of history that's still, it's kind of tucked back in there by those collegiate villa condominiums. But you can drive back there, and sure enough, there's that barn that was originally from Bluemont Central College. And then in the Alumni Center, there's the carved stone that says Bluemont College. That is now in the Alumni Center above the fireplace there.
I've seen that. Now, I did not know about the history of that little cottage there, south of the soccer field. So, hey, it's always nice to learn something, and leave it to you to do that. I learned a lot from you and Cheryl.
Well, there's just so many components to a story, and that's the fun part about history, are those connections that you can find through time. And Washington Marlott and his wife, Julia Bailey Marlott, so she was one of the first teachers there at Bluemont Central College. So she actually married Washington inside the college, and then that's where they made their home, right there off of College Avenue. And Washington, even though he was a highly, highly educated man, he was exceptionally humble, and you can read about him and his life. He wrote editorials to the paper quite a bit, and it's a lot of fun. He was extremely interested in farming and did a lot for the area in regards to that. And his son, Charles Marlott, went on to be a nationally known entomologist. And there's a book, and it's by Daniel Stone. It's called Food Explorers. Have you heard about that book?
No.
It's a great book, and it tells the story of David Fairchild, who, of course, Fairchild is a familiar name around here, mm-hmm. George Fairchild being the president of Kansas State Agricultural College. Well, his son, David, was a nationally known, he was the food explorer, and so grew up here in Manhattan, went on to work for the USDA, and traveled the world and introduced hundreds of varieties of fruits, vegetables, plant varieties here in the United States. And for example, the cherry trees that are now around the Tidal Basin in Washington, D.C., David Fairchild had a lot to do with securing those cherry blossom trees that now grace Washington, D.C. today.
Wow.
And he was close friends with Charles Marlott. So again, you have those connections. You go down the route for one story, and it can take you down another rabbit hole, which that's the fun part about history.
Alana, we have a caller standing by, and I'm at the mercy of, you know, we hope that we've got, you know, callers and not, you know, somebody trying to extend our car's warranty today. Don't have a call screener, so we're going to go to the phones and hope that we have someone with a legitimate question or comment. Good morning. You're on K-Man's In Focus with Alana Parker.
Good morning. Are you familiar with the marker that is on up on Bluemont Hill? It's kind of hidden by that new big blue water tower was put in several years ago.
Are you talking about the one that was posted there in the Centennial?
No. This is, well, it could have been, but it has the name of Isaac Goodnow on it, Goodnow, and that's where he, I apparently looked at the rivers, the confluence of the two rivers, and then he named the that boat that came up the Hartford, and that it tells about that right there. It's just back east of the new lookout point, and it's right behind the water tower, sits up on a little bluff.
Yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. It is kind of tucked away there. I think it's kind of fun. It's a little surprise when you go hiking back up there to find that.
I believe that there's been an effort with the Kiwanis Club, who recently did the new viewing platform there above the Manhattan Letters to make that a little bit more noticeable. So that's, I think, part of their long-term plan there. So.
Yes, and that looks beautiful up there. Took the hike up there for the first time since that was done just a couple months ago, and gosh, what incredible work they've done. It definitely makes it a little safer going up above those Manhattan Letters there, so it's very appreciated.
That does. It's 9:18. Alana, when we come back, we'll talk more about Isaac and Ellen Goodnow and impact that they made here on the area, not just with the founding of the city, but what has become Kansas State University.
Wonderful.
It's K-Man's In Focus, back with Alana in just a couple of moments here at News Radio KMAN.